Tonight I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to just pray a word of blessing over you. But before that, I just want to share one word in case there is somebody who has walked in here for the first time. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verses 13 and 14.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Amen. Hallelujah. The multitudes of angels were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with whom he is well pleased." Tonight I just want to speak about that word peace, the peace that comes from God. Amen. It is said that when Jesus Christ was on this earth in the flesh, those 33 and a half years, there was not a single war on this planet, because the Prince of Peace had set his feet in the flesh on this earth. Amen. Not a single war, not a single battle during those 33 and a half years. One of the translations uses the word "glory to God in the highest and peace to those with whom the Lord is well pleased." One of the signs that the Lord is well pleased with us is the evidence of peace within our hearts. Every time I lose my peace, I immediately go into my prayer room, kneel down, open the Bible, sit before God, ask the Holy Spirit to help me and show me why I am not peaceful inside. Because if my God is well pleased with me, the evidence is not me attending a church. The evidence is there is peace. Amen. There is peace in the heart. The peace of God in three directions, if you want to name this title. See, in the Old Testament, people did not know they were pleasing God by having peace in their hearts. It is a blessing which God has given in the new covenant. In the book of Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 17, it says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Amen. Say that with me. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is there only in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you will find the word righteousness, but you will never find righteousness linked with peace or with joy. But in the New Testament, what God has given us is that we have righteousness that comes through the blood of Jesus, and together with that, we have peace and we have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh, somebody rejoice in the Lord this night. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what is the three directions of peace? The first one is Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1.
"Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the vertical direction. We have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody open your mouth and say, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since being justified by faith, in the Old Testament, the sins were forgiven the people of God whenever they offered a sacrifice. But they could never experience cleansing. So David uses the word, when I acknowledged my sin, you covered my sin. I mean, you put it under the carpet. But they always had this fear whether somebody would remove the carpet and look at all that they had done. Even people who come to a new born-again church who hear the word sometimes have this fear. Because they read the Old Testament and they have this fear. Okay, I acknowledged my sin before God. As only God covered my sin, will somebody ever find out what I have done? And let me tell you, every one of us sitting here have got a bad experience, have done something wrong, which is not right before God. And God does not want you to walk in fear or guilt or torment for the rest of your life. Tonight I want you to understand, we have peace with God through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. He doesn't just cover our sin, but He cleanses you. Open your mouth and say, the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and say that the blood of Jesus cleanses you. In the Old Testament, it was outward. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. Look at that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14.
Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen. See, in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and calves did something outward. But Jesus is saying, through the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth our conscience. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just not a cover-up. It's a cleansing of your conscience. Whose conscience will be cleansed? Who will be forgiven? 1 John 1 verse 9. The Lord said, if you confess your sins to me, if you will confess your sin, He will forgive. Whose sin will be forgiven? Which sin will be forgiven? The sin that you confess. The sin that you justify, or the sin that you blame somebody else for, will never be forgiven. Take my word for it. It will never be forgiven. The blood does not justify those who justify themselves. But the sin that you confess, the sin that you acknowledge before God, which you admit before God, I can tell you, the blood of Jesus will cleanse your conscience, will purify your conscience, will purify your heart, so that you are justified by faith and you have peace with God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we are not supposed to follow Adam. And Adam justified his wrong. He said, the woman that you gave me made me to eat this, and that I sinned. Can you imagine that? He didn't even take 50% of the blame. He blamed God and the woman that you gave me, Lord. If she hadn't tempted me, if he hadn't tempted me, if he hadn't said that or done that, then I wouldn't have done this. It is because that person spoke this way that I retaliated and spoke that way. It is because that person behaved like this, I behaved like that. Let me tell you, it doesn't come under the blood. Are you with me? But the moment you say, hallelujah, see, I think Adam only took 33% responsibility. He blamed God, he blamed the woman, and then 33%. God said, get out of the garden. Isn't that amazing? Imagine in your family, in your family life, imagine a husband and wife are fighting. The wife did 90% of the wrong, and the husband did only 10% of the wrong. Imagine that. The husband says to everybody, listen, she's the one responsible for this mess in the house. She did wrong. True, she did 90%. In our logical mind, we'll say, she did not 90% after all. Okay. But imagine the woman goes before God and says, Lord, I admit I am the one who's wrong. I did wrong. God says, forgiven. 90% she did. She said, Lord, I'm sorry. I am unworthy. I am the one who made the mistake. Forgiven. The husband only did 10%, but not forgiven. How many of you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We are following Jesus, the last Adam. Some people say the second Adam. Not the second Adam, the last Adam. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He didn't blame anybody. On the cross, 0% guilt on him, no sin. He didn't do anything wrong. But your sin and my sin, he took it on himself, the responsibility, and said, Father, forgive them. We have redemption through his blood, justified by faith. We have peace with God. Hallelujah. We follow the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Most of the family problems come, you know why? No peace at home, you know why? Because you're always blaming each other. You're accusing each other, you're criticizing each other. I heard once a preacher say there are two types of mirror, one in the bathroom and one in the car. The mirror in the bathroom, you will see your face every day. The mirror in the car, you will see somebody else's face. God's word is the mirror. When you look at it, you're supposed to see your face. Are you with me? See, in the Bible it says in Ephesians 5, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You know that? Respect your husband, you know that? To whom is it written? You ask any schoolboy, they'll tell you it is addressed wives. So it is written to the wife. But you know what the wife will read? Husbands, love your wife. You are reading somebody else's letter. It was not written to you, it was written to the husband. The husband will read the letter that was God wrote to the wife. Wife, submit to the husband. Why don't you submit to me? That was not written for you. That was written, you are reading somebody else's letter. That was written for the wife. Husband, read your part. Wife, read your part. Don't read somebody else's SMS. Don't read somebody else's mail. Don't read somebody else's letter. You, when you study God's word for peace at home, for peace in your relationship, you need to read the part of the letter that was written to you. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, don't open somebody else's letter. Have you seen people fighting at home over the scripture? The husband will say, edi edi keelpadana nee. The wife will say, snehikana enna. Both of them are reading each other's letter. What God meant for them, they don't read. They don't change. Hallelujah. Amen. See, once you confess, God does not remember your sin anymore. Are you with me? Open your mouth and say, once I confess, God doesn't remember my sin anymore. Once you have confessed to Jesus, God doesn't remember the sin. When Georgie was sharing the word, he said he and his wife took a decision that they won't keep a running record of each other's fault. You're remembering. That's why there's no peace at home. 7 years back you did that. 3 years back you did that. Last week you did that. You're keeping a running record of each other's mistake. Imagine if God were to keep a running record of our mistakes. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that our God does not keep a running record of our mistakes? He forgives us. He said in Hebrews 8 and verses 8 to 12, your sins I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to preach tonight. I'm just supposed to bless you with peace tonight. The second area of peace. Is in Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
It is what is called an inward peace. To be spiritually minded is peace and life. The second direction of peace that the Bible speaks about is inward peace. Sometimes people ask me, you know, Pastor, where do we build a house? Which locality should we go and start a ministry? Is that area safe? Can we go for a holiday into Afghanistan? I mean, there are adventurous people like that in the church. The other day there was a report a tsunami was coming, and the TV people were showing, you know, everybody is at the Marina Beach looking for the tsunami. They're looking at the watch. 3:30 they said the tsunami will come. They're watching. See, common sense, at least go away from there, sit somewhere else. No, they're watching for that. Where do we go? What do we do? One thing that I've understood from scripture is the safest place in your life is the place where you are in the will of God. If the will of God is that you should be in Afghanistan for a holiday, play with the landmines there, nothing will happen. Are you with me? Amen. But the safest place, it's in the will of God. What you need to do is, Lord, I want to be spiritually minded. I want to have your peace. Is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go for a holiday? Is this what you want me to do for ministry? Is this what you want me to preach? What do you want me to do? The fruit of peace inwardly is a sign of the will of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this word, Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. It is one of my favorite scripture, but just read it one more time. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body.
Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Are you with me? One of the version uses the word, let the peace of God be a referee in your heart. Let the peace of God be there. So the peace of God is like a referee. How many of you have seen a football match? The referee blows the whistle. There is a foul. He blows a whistle. And then one guy takes the ball and hits the goal. Is it a goal? No. Why? Because the referee blew the whistle and there was a foul. So after that, even if you go and, okay, nobody's watching, 10 goals, 1, 2, 3, 4, it is not counted because the referee blew the whistle. The same way, when the referee of peace is missing in your heart, are you with me? Then you know there's been a foul somewhere. There is something wrong somewhere. Don't open your mouth when you are agitated at home. See, the peace is not there, the referee is not there. Somebody's provoking you, you're agitated inside. You can hardly wait to just give it to him or to her. Don't open your mouth. Bless the home by keeping your mouth shut. Because the referee is warning you. You're agitated now. When I am agitated, I make sure that I go behind backstage, pray for a little bit more time, till I find the peace. Because I don't want to come up here and shout. Are you with me? I might know something very, you know, in the natural, something which the Lord has shown me, maybe in the spiritual, something that is wrong and I need to correct somebody. I don't want to do that. Let me just go behind, pray, lift up that person, pray, till I find the referee of peace inside. And then I come here, I preach in love. If you are agitated in your house, what should you do? Keep your... I didn't hear you. You keep your mouth shut. In the scripture, there are two types of seas. Isaiah 57 verse 20. Isaiah 57 verse 20.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt.
See, the wicked are like troubled sea which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. Have you seen people, every time they open their mouth, all things start coming up? See, when the sea sometimes brings, you know, you will find all old bottles, garbage cans, dirt, everything just being lifted up from underneath when the waters come. So the wicked are like sea that brings up dirt and mire from underneath. They're always speaking about the past. They always speak about, see, God has forgiven you, you have reconciled with somebody, the chapter is closed, finished, and then, you know, Pastor, you did that then, huh? You did this then, huh? Or you, brother, you did this, you did that. See, you're bringing it up. You're agitated. Every time you open your mouth, all things are coming up. It's destroying your fiber. It's destroying your life. But look at Revelations, the second C, 15th chapter, verse 2. Revelations 15, that's the last chapter in the Bible. Are you there? How many of you found Revelation? For how many of you it is a revelation that Revelation is the last book in the Bible? Revelation 15, verse 2.
And I saw something like a sea of glass.
Yes, a sea of glass. In English, enough. In English, there is a saying, no, the sea was like glass. It means very calm. No ripples, no wave on it. The sea was like glass. There are people who are like sea, like glass. When they speak, there's no waves. You're not trying to disturb anybody. Your conversation is not trying to upset somebody. People might get upset, but that's not what your intention is. You are at peace. How many of you would like that? To have peace inwardly, where you open your mouth, that peace is going forth as a vessel to bless somebody's life. There is no spirit of accusation. You are not condemning or accusing somebody or criticizing somebody. Are you with me tonight? Now, I get very turned off the moment somebody starts accusing. I don't know what happens. I just shut within. I close shop, you know what I mean? I close shop. No more sales here today. We finished. Business is over. Nice meeting you. Ta-da. Bye-bye. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye. I shut myself. The moment somebody starts accusing, anybody, worst of all me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. For your sea to be like glass, what should you do? Philippians 4, 4 to 7.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Yes.
Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God.
And the peace
of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. See, prayer and supplication we all do. We pray. But you know what happens? The Lord showed me some people's prayer does not reach into the presence of God. I said, Lord, why? He said, they only pray. They only have supplication. But I've added one more thing there. With thanksgiving. You write an SMS. You type an SMS. The send button you have to press, na? For the SMS to go to somebody. The send button is thanksgiving. Otherwise, it will be still in your phone. What happens to most people is that they have the prayer. Lord, I'm praying for my marriage. I'm praying for my housework to be complete. I'm praying for my family life to be restored. I'm praying for my healing. I'm praying for deliverance. I'm praying for financial breakthrough. They're praying. But they have not sent it. You know what the send button is? Thanksgiving. Open your mouth and say, Pastor, it is so simple. Help me to do it, Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving. Are you with me? Thanksgiving. Then only you have sent it. Then only the answer will come. The sign of the answer going to come is the peace of God will rule your heart and your mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. See, the word used in Philippians 4 is the peace of God will surround you. When you prayed with thanksgiving, it's like a fortress, the peace of God. You might be going through the greatest financial difficulty. You might be going through a bad report from a doctor saying that you're terribly sick. Some real family problem, real issues. But when you pray and send with thanksgiving, the peace of God will come like a fortress around your life. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? The peace of God will surround you. Not only will guard your heart and mind, it will surround you. It's like a fortress. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You begin, you know, stomach ulcers won't come. See, many doctors would say that some of the sickness is due to anxiety, stress. So the peace of God is like a protection against all that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Your skin won't wrinkle. Praise the Lord. You won't get constipated because of tension. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of God will be like a fortress around you. No weapon that's fashioned against you will prosper. You will see the hand of blessing upon your life. When you send your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the hand of the Lord shall move forth for you. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You will live longer and healthier when you have peace inside. There are two circles. One circle here, and one circle here. Nah, just joking. There are two circles. There are two circles, you know. A small circle, that is my world. I can do something about it. I'm in control of my world. That's a small circle. Then there is a bigger circle which I'm not in control of, which only God can handle. Are you with me? There is, for everybody's life, there are two circles. One circle is you can control it. Your employer might listen to you. You speak to your client, they might listen to you. Your family members might listen to you. Your church member might listen to you. You can handle that. You're going through a problem, but you can handle it. But there is a circle that is beyond that, that is much bigger, which you have no control of. For example, an economic law that is passed in the country, which will affect your business. The petrol prices go up. Or your boss transfers you to another city. Or, you know, things that begin to happen, suddenly a doctor says something that is negative. You have got absolutely no control over it. But don't worry, when you've prayed, when you've given your supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving, God's peace will guard both the circles. There shall be a mighty fortress. His hand will be in control over the circle that you cannot control. Oh, come on, church. The third one, and I close with it. They're going to pray for you. Romans 12, verse 18. The third direction of peace. Romans 12, verse 18.
If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men.
As much as it is possible, it's the peace towards others. Live with peace with everybody. As much as possible. You know, the Bible says, do not murder. Are you with me? Do not commit adultery. Do not lie one to another. Those are all absolutes. It is within your control. You can choose. But to be at peace with somebody else, as much as possible. The word used is as much as, because it depends on the other person also. You have nothing against that person. You are blessing that person, loving that person. That person says, I don't want you. I'm going. What can you do? Don't worry. As much as possible, be at peace with others. Are you with me? Because it depends on the other person also. In your family life, as much as possible, you at peace with them. You don't fight with your wife or with your husband, but they don't want that. Sometimes in the church, when somebody backslides or when somebody does not get their breakthrough, they take it out on the Lord and they show it towards me. You know, so what I do is, I said, as much as possible. Your hand is still out for them, you're still there praying for them and helping them and all that. I said, if they don't want to, that's fine. You can't do anything about it. Are you with me? But you are for peace. Open your mouth and say, I am for peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The real translation uses the word hunt for peace. Search for it. Hunt for peace with others. So this night, I just want to bless you, asking the Lord to fill your hearts with His peace. Amen. More than anything else in your life, that you would have peace with God, peace within yourself, and peace in your relationship, that the hand of God can be upon you and bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why it is so important for your own peace that you forgive people and don't keep bitterness in your heart. Are you with me? Amen. Allow that peace of God to flow through. Let's close our eyes in prayer.